In the book of John, chapter 5, as we look again in our series, Making Your Life Count, this is sermon 2 in our series, Making Your Life Count. I want to go to John, chapter 5. Beginning at verse 5, chapter 5 of John, it says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Today we're going to deal with the principles of success. The principles of success, our second sermon in this series, Making Your Life Count. Last week we dealt with the foundations of success, but here are some principles that I believe that we can better show forth the miraculous work of God, Christ Jesus, in and through our lives. It really begins with us answering the call that Christ makes in our lives. Many of us, if not all of us, have caller ID. And for some of us, caller ID is a really great tool to have. There are those of us who like to have it because it gives us the capability of seeing who is calling us and noticing and having it already in our mind as to who the call is coming from. It identifies the person calling. Yes, sir. But then there are those of us who, when we have caller ID, we utilize it to make certain that whomever it is that's calling us is the person we want to talk to. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. We use it to look at the phone and say, okay, well, I won't answer that call. Amen. It becomes a helpful tool. A long time ago, we didn't have caller ID, so we answered the phone. You know, even if the person that we didn't want to talk to answered was on the other line, we'd have to make up stuff. You caught me in a bad. Well, I'm busy right now. Pretend like, well, no, they ain't here. And it'd be us on the phone. So call ID has been quite helpful to many of us to keep us from having to say stuff that really isn't true. But I've discovered that even with that, we utilize it to ignore calls sometimes, don't we? And I've discovered that somehow, some way, many of us have been ignoring the call of Christ in our lives, therefore making it or coming to a point to where Christ is calling us to be more than what we are, to be closer to him, to be strengthened by him. There are those of us who have been ignoring his call. That's what this particular text really is about. It surrounds a man's faith and surrounds his willingness to answer a call that Christ makes at a moment and pivotal moment in his life. My question today is to each of us, have we been ignoring God? Are we answering his call? If we really want to make our lives count, we've got to get to a point to where we stop ignoring what Christ is saying to us and begin to hear him and move at his command. When we rely on and trust Christ, we are empowered beyond our circumstances. And that's what it means to answer his call. To make our lives count. It's the very principle that we stand on in order to be all that he desires us to be. Now, what does that have to do with this man? I'm glad you asked. We find him with an infirmity. One translation says that he was an invalid. Others say that he was a paralytic. He was immobile, could not move his leg, could not stand, could not walk. And he'd been in this condition for 38 years. And it is at this point, after 38 years of being in this position, or being in this with this condition, we discover that Christ asked him a question. His question to him is, wilt thou, verse 6, be made whole? Christ calls him to being whole with a question. And even today, the same question is being asked of each of us. At this point, he is lame, cannot walk, cannot stand. And Christ asks him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be strengthened? And if what I want us to understand today is that if we're going to be successful even in the life of a believer, as we're moving forward to making our lives count, we must make a pivotal decision. We must make a decision. We've got to make a decision. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healthy? And he wanted to know, do you want to be different from what you are now? 38 years. Lame. That, it doesn't say that's how old he was. It doesn't say that's how long he was at the pool. It says he was in this infirmity. He was in this condition, in this situation, 38 years. Watch this. And the text says, and Jesus knew it. Yeah. I want to help somebody here today. Yes, sir. Which helps us to understand here that, yes, Christ knows your situation. Hallelujah. You may have been suffering with it for a while. Been dealing with it, going through it, struggling with it for a while. Christ knows, but have you answered the question? The question is, do you want to be different? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be strengthened? So this fella had to answer this question, and there were a couple of things that he needed to consider while he answered this question. Here's the thing. First of all, recognize that he is a paralytic. He's a beggar. He is on one of the porches of Bethsaida. He's sitting there and he's begging. And there's something that in this question, it just appears that Jesus is asking more than, do you want to be healed? It's almost as though the emphasis is on, do you really want to be healed? Because, watch this, because no longer will he be able to be a beggar. Now he's got to become, watch this, he's got to go to work. He's got to do some things. He's got to consider, watch this, consider that now I have garnered some responsibility in my life. Jesus is asking, do you want to be strengthened? But he's also asking, are you willing to do the job?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you willing to pay the cost? There's some costs involved. Watch this. Our theme is committed to discipleship. There's some costs involved in discipleship. And so he asked him, are you... you've got to make this decision. So the decision that he has to make is, does he decide to trust Christ? And watch this, embrace challenges. No longer can he sit around and wait for folk to give him a little something. And looking for handouts. No longer could he do that. He has some new responsibility. Now he got to get up. I've already said to go get a job. But not only that, but he's got to, watch this, take care of himself. Yeah. Can't be lingering around the pool. Can't be waiting on folk to. And he's got to, watch this, face responsibility, but he's also got to embrace change. I recognize that the scenery is going to change. Not going to be the same stuff happening. Christ is even asking you and me the same question. Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be successful? And do you, and watch this, do you want to serve me? And with it comes some responsibilities. With it, some things that we've got to embrace.
Yes, sir.
You and I have got to answer and make the same decision that this guy made. We've got to get to a point to where we understand that Christ is not just asking to heal our bodies and heal our situation, but he's also asking, watch this, us to bear responsibility for what he's given us to do. I mean, you know that God saves us so that we can serve him.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, yes, come on, man.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many of you know that God blesses us not so that we can hoard our blessings, but so that we can bless others? God puts us in some positions and some places and some points in our life so that we might be able, watch this, to show others how good God has been by being good to others. There's a decision that has to be made. I feel like preaching this morning. Verse 6 teaches us that we must make a pivotal decision. But verse 7 helps us to understand that if we're going to make our lives count, and if we're going to embrace these principles of success, here's the next thing we got to do. Let me read the verse. The impotent man answered Jesus. Jesus asked a question, but here's what the impotent man answered Jesus, answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Watch this. Wait a minute. Jesus asked him the question, do you want to be healed? And this man started complaining and making excuses for why he was not. We've got to make a pivotal decision, but watch this. We've got to stop making excuses. You see it right now? I didn't make that up. Did I make that up? He waited. Watch this. Here's what he did. He waited for somebody else to put him in. He tells us what his problem was. See, I can't really feel sorry for him, to be honest. I really can't feel sorry for him because, you know, I mean, he'd been in that condition 38 years. Somebody had to bring him. Some kind of way, he should have told somebody, just put me on the edge. So when it started trouble, I'm just going to roll over. I mean, just something. Could have done something. Could have just scooted over there, something. Get closer to the pool. You know what I'm saying? I just can't feel sorry for him. Look, stop making excuses. He said, look, he was waiting on somebody else to put him in. Is that what it said? He says, I have no man to put me in. Look, he had nobody else to make it happen for him. He had nobody else to scoot him in, push him in, pull him in, walk him in. He had nobody else to do it for him. Can I just say something? Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And really the operative answer should have been yes. But he found a reason to make excuses for why he couldn't do. Look, I want to help somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to. But just excuse me for a moment. Let me just say this to whomever I'm talking to. Stop making excuses. Blaming others won't get you anywhere. You don't believe me? Blaming others will not get you anywhere. And waiting on others won't get you anywhere. Where you are may not be your fault. But in reality, it's not anybody else's fault either. There must be a point in our lives where we stop making excuses for why or where or what is happening in our lives. Amen. I discovered something. Can I just say something about church folk? I discovered something. We make more excuses in the church than we make anywhere else. And we won't watch this. We make excuses for stuff that is unexcusable and inexcusable anywhere else. Wow. He says he makes an excuse, but Jesus asked a question, and I want to really ask you today: Have you responded to Jesus with yes, or are you making excuses? I'll do it, Lord, but I got so much going on. The Lord has given you the proclivity to work for him, the proclivity to bless others, the propensity to do his will and to serve him. And our response is stuff like, you know, I got a whole lot on my plate. Excuses. But he's saying, will you serve me? Will you do my will? Well, you know, I ain't as young as I used to be. My energy is low. I ain't got nobody else to help me. Or them people, here's the one, them people get on my nerves. I've been doing it a long time. I'm trying to help somebody. I don't know who I'm helping, but I'm trying to help somebody to understand you cannot serve God with excuses. Okay, all right. That's not working. Okay, all right. All right. Okay. What if when we pray to God? And we said to the Lord, Lord, help me. That's all. Whatever the situation, you put whatever you want in the blank. And the Lord said, well, I would, but I got a fire across here that I got to put out. And I got somebody need to wake up over here. And I got stuff going on over here. What if the Lord answered and said, I got a lot on my plate. I'm busy. I got too much going on. You just don't understand what it is to be God. What if he said, I got a life. Doesn't really mean. And I know I can hear her saying, well, you know, but he's God and he has that power. Yeah, that's right. But God does not, watch this, God does not require from us, watch this, something that we cannot achieve. And he rewards us according to our faith. This man had to come to a pivotal decision, but he also needed to stop making excuses. I want to know today how many of us are guilty of making excuses when God is saying to us, when Christ is saying to us, when Christ is calling us and asking us to do some things, to work some way, to be whole even in our lives, to move to new levels. And sometimes new levels in our lives don't necessarily mean new money. You don't have to have money to be blessed. You don't have to have the latest and the greatest of technology to be blessed. Don't have to have the biggest house to be blessed. All you got to do is rest in the joy of the Lord and be blessed. The Lord could be placing some other responsibilities on us and placing us in some places that we never thought of so that we can be blessed. Verse 8 teaches us, and I'm through now. Verse 8 says, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Here's the principle that we need to hold on to. Not only must we make a pivotal decision, a decision that counts everything that's involved with the responsibility of serving Christ and stop making excuses. But we also need to get started. Just get started. After Jesus hears his excuses, he doesn't pat him on the back and say, oh, I know, boy, you really got it bad. He doesn't placate. He doesn't coddle him. But he gives him a command. Even though Jesus is asking us questions, he also has some commands for us. He commands him. Watch what he commands him to do. He commands him to rise. Take up his bed, and then he commands him to walk. Now don't run across this because you know that's something in here. Look, don't read the Bible too fast. You might miss something. Look. He tells him to stand up, to rise. He says, rise. Look, this guy has been in this. He's been in this situation for 38 years, and even after hearing the excuses and the complaints that he made, Jesus says to him, rise. He says, stand up. And here's the key for each of us. We've got to get to a point to where we stop complaining and stop excusing ourselves and start standing. Standing on what? Standing on the promises of the Lord. Can I tell you one thing he promised? He said, lo, I'll be with you always. And even in this moment, there's promise in the voice of Christ as he's telling him to rise. It doesn't matter what anybody else say you can or cannot do. Jesus says, rise. He wasn't worried. He wasn't listening to the crowd, listening to any doubters, any naysayers. He heard what Jesus said. Jesus says, rise. That's a lesson for each of us today. You've got to learn how to stand because Jesus says stand. Learn how to watch this. Stand in spite of what's going on around you. Regardless of who's going to be there for you. Regardless of who likes you or doesn't like you. Regardless of how rough and tough it is. It would have been something if this guy had said, but I've been like this 38 years. But I haven't stood in a long time. What you mean? He didn't argue with Jesus, did he? He didn't watch this. He didn't tell Jesus like some of us would say. After Jesus already told him what to do, he didn't say, let me pray about it, Jesus. Let me think about this for a moment. Let me weigh my options. Stan, I want to ask the question, are you standing? Are you standing or are you wallowing? Wallowing in your troubles, wallowing in your dilemma. Can I just tell you that trouble is not germane nor unique to any of us. Meaning that we're not the only one person or one individual that is suffering or has trouble or have some sort of problem or affliction or pain, something that's going on in our lives. Can I just tell you that if you start talking to folk, you might find out that what you're going through really ain't all that bad? Stand. Yes. What do you do? Stand. Stand. Jesus says, rise. Rise. I think her name was Maya Angelou, who said, still, I don't know the poem by heart, but some of you women probably know it. But the gist of it is that even though I'm afflicted, even though there's stuff that's going on, I still keep on rising.
Yes, sir.
That's what God is calling you to do. When life seems to have you, you keep on standing. I don't know if this fits here, but I just got a tweet that said, look, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Make the best out of it. What is that called? That's called standing in spite of your trouble. He says, take up your bed. That's what he says, take up your bed. Take up your bed. His bed is where he laid. He wasn't just laying on the porch, but he had a bed there, which denotes that he'd gotten comfortable and complacent with his ordeal. God is calling us to get out of our comfort zone. Ministry is not always comfortable. Helping people is not always comfortable. Working for the Lord is not always comfortable. You don't believe me? Ask Moses. You don't believe me? Ask Joshua. You don't believe me? Ask Daniel. If you don't believe me, can I keep going? Ask Paul. Paul said, three times I was beaten 40 lashes minus one. Ministry is not always comfortable, but you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Yes, it may take some time out your day, may take some time out your week, take some time out your life. But can I tell you, serving the Lord will pay off. Get out your comfort zone. Everything is not going to be comfortable. We teach our children that, don't we? Don't we teach them, you know what I'm saying, don't quit. Keep going. You got to keep on going. When they're on the football team, basketball team, baseball or whatever, and they decide, well, look, Mama, I don't want to do it no more. You say to them, no, you got to keep going. You know, everything don't come easy. Isn't that what you? Oh, I forgot. We're in the millennials now, y'all. Y'all tell them, do what you want to do, baby. I support you. Whatever you want to do. Come out of your comfort zone. And then he says to walk. He says to walk. He says walk. Stand up. Get out of your comfort zone and walk. This is the call to let other people see the power of Jesus working in your life. You want people to see, you want people to know how good Jesus is, how great he is, see how blessed you are. Let them see your walk. What's your walk like? How do you live before your enemies? When your enemies let it all hang out, do you let it hang out too? What does your Facebook page look like? What does it say about? See, we're talking about the walk. We're talking about the walk. When people look at your Twitter account, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat. What's the other one? Instagram. When they look at your stuff out in the media world, what does your walk look like? What kind of pictures are people looking at of you? What kind of parties you going to? I mean, you know, look. Long time ago, we used to just keep stuff. I know I'm going to get blocked from a lot of accounts now. Look. You going to block me?
She said she deleted me.
Look, y'all. We say we are believers. We say Christ is working in our life. We say that Christ is our Savior. He brought us. He taught us. What do people see in your walk? He said, get up. Get out of your comfort zone. I mean, bear some burdens. And then he said, then walk so others will know that I am Christ. Watch this. In your life. Do people know that he's Christ in your life? You want to be successful. You want to make your life count. You want to draw others to Christ. Walk right. Walk right. What does your walk look like? When people see you, I'm through now. When people see you, how are you walking? Amen. Amen. How are you walking? How are you living? Do people know you are a child of God? We have the perfect example of the walk. Perfect example. One who knew no sin. Walk before men that they may know and understand that he is Lord. We say he is Lord of our life. We literally mean that he's in control of it. We don't deny him, and others can see him in the way we live. Is Christ living in you? Do people know it? Do people know that Christ is living in you? Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We know you're able. We ask for your divine favor in our lives. Today, Lord, we come recommitting ourselves. We come committing ourselves to you, Lord. We've come making the decision to follow you, to serve you. We come today, Father, stopping. We're not going to make any more excuses. We're going to stand. We're going to walk and come out of our comfort zone so that you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us extend, we want to extend the privileges of the church.